you have as we continue in our study from God's Word and through God's Word about the better life. And it's a better life through Jesus Christ. He is the source and He is the circumference of that new life, that better life. In fact, as you take out your outline, you'll see in the very beginning there a number of verses that again give us that biblical, if you will, that godly orientation about what that better life is all about. Because I don't know how you have experienced, but you know the good life that everybody talks about here in our culture, no matter what culture you're in, they talk about the good life. They're amongst the diets, talk about the good life, having a rice field and having enough rice and all these other things, and it's amazing to see when even in that culture, when men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ, they realize, yes, God does provide. He provides the rice, He provides the sun and the rain and everything else, but He provides so much more through His Son, Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins, the newness of life, the living hope, and so many other things. But here, take a look at some of these verses just for that orientation so we understand that the better life truly is because of Jesus Christ. And it's made possible through His death and resurrection. That's the basis, the only basis that God has established for that better life. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Circle that phrase, I am the resurrection and life. Because if you have that better life in Jesus Christ, right now, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have the power of His resurrection at work in your life and available to you in your relationship with Him and your relationship with other people. We all do, all who are in Christ Jesus. We need to avail ourselves. We need to appropriate all that Christ wants to give us every day. I am the resurrection of life. He, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked that question. Dear Lazarus' daughter, Lazarus' sister, Mary, do you believe this? And of course, she did. Because she knew him. If the Spirit who raised Jesus, Paul writes, from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give your mortal bodies, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. The dwelling Holy Spirit that enables and empowers us to live that better life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This particular aspect of living and experiencing the better life, we're looking at that better life by faith. Living that better life by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're instructed and we're enabled to live by faith. Faith. Important word, isn't it? Don't you agree? Yeah. Faith is one of those church words too, isn't it? We hear a lot about faith as we speak about faith in church, in Sunday school, and in good news clubs, and in worship services. We read about it. We talk about it. James, as we went through the book of James, has a lot to say about that living faith. But sometimes no matter where you are in your journey of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ and your trust in Jesus, sometimes we want to know, well, how does it work out right now when I'm facing a challenge, but are that challenge a test, the temptation, the trial? And we all face that. And just how does it work, that faith? What does it look like in a life right now that I'm facing? And how does it feel? How does that faith feel to you, your faith? What does that faith do? And how can I know the difference when I see that faith in the lives of others? I'd like to share with you a well-known passage. And it's right there before you. A well-known passage that helps us get a better handle on the faith that God has given to us by His Spirit through His Word. That living faith we can have in His living Son. Come with me, if you will, to your outline before you, and it's Proverbs chapter 3. We may a reference to that last Sunday by way of a bridge to this Sunday's message. Would you take a look at that passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, whether it be in your Bible, but ideally on the page you have before you. Let's read those two verses together, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well-known passage, isn't it? Have you ever memorized that passage? Many of you have, through Sunday school or vacation Bible school. I want to encourage you, if you haven't, or if you have, if you just renew that, if you will, your memory bank, and remember and memorize those two verses. We're going to kind of unpackage that portion or that passage from God's Word and how it relates to our faith. Living the better life by faith. Not by fantasy. Not by imagination. Not by religion. Not by just going to church either. But living that better life that you have in Jesus Christ by faith every day. For me, I'm a simple person, you know that. I don't have deep thoughts. So I love it when God makes it very simple for Bill Gray. Because I really want to know more about him and about how I can trust him and exercise my faith in him more practically, more personally, more consistently, too. I don't know about you, but I really want to experience all that God wants me to experience in living that better life right now through Jesus Christ. I hope you do too. Father God, guide us now as we look into your word. May it come alive to our hearts. May it captivate our minds, our thoughts in Christ Jesus. A well-known passage in your word that many have memorized, Lord. But help us to live it. Help us to live it for your glory. Help us to live it in a love relationship with you, and help us to live it in a way that our lives become examples, models before our family, our loved ones, our friends, our community. Help us to live these truths as the church lives today. In Christ's name, Father, we pray. Amen. Take a look at your outline. The very first part, as I say, we're going to kind of package these passages. Two verses. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Begins with trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. That's a phrase. It's a couple together. It's a package here. The word bata is used. And it's a very strong word about trust. It's the idea of depending on. The idea of having a confidence in. It's a word that's typically used and translated trust with certitude, with a certain a sense of having an anchor that you're trusting. Bata is typically translated trust, and it's obviously and so clear that it would be related to faith, because that's really what a living faith is. It's having a trust in the anchor of your life, Jesus Christ. Blessed the man who makes the Lord his trust. Yes, we're blessed by the Lord when you and I trust him wholeheartedly with all of our hearts. Just as much as we're to also love him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, with all our strength. Blessed the man who trusts the Lord, who does not, take a look at that verse, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after life. That verse is saying about trust there from the Psalms that it's a choice you and I make. Every day we make those choices. Every day we make that decision to trust in the Lord in this particular situation, to trust in the Lord in that particular situation. Maybe it's in our marriage. Maybe something's come up in our relationship. Maybe it's with our family. Maybe it's with our children, our grandchildren. Maybe it's where we work. Maybe it's where we go to school. Whatever life experience is. You and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who really wants to experience the fullness of the better life in Jesus Christ right now, we make those choices, those decisions. That's what Psalm 40, verse 4 is talking about. You want to be blessed? Trust in the Lord. Make the right decision. Make the right choice. Every day we make those decisions. Notice, if you will, and I'm sure you have, that associated with trusting the Lord, there's a risk in life, isn't there? Have you faced those risks? You see, life is full of risks. Every day we drive the car, we face risk. Every day you go to work, you face risk. We raise our children, we're facing risk. Life is full of risks. The Bible is not unaware of those. In fact, take a look at what we have here recorded from in your paper before you from Ecclesiastes. Some people avoid Ecclesiastes because some people say, well, that's a downer book, Bill. When we're going to be going through a series in Ecclesiastes in the future, it's not a benching, it's an upper. It really is. Okay? But it's reality, too. You see, when God says trust in Him, He's talking about living your life in reality in a real trust in Him. Take a look at this Ecclesiastes. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Yeah. You run a risk digging a pit. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Gee, I hope I don't get bit by a snake today, but you know there's a risk in life. That's what he's talking about. Life is full of risk. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Yeah, some could fall on. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. Just a little snippet, if you will, from Ecclesiastes, from God's word. When God says, trust the Lord with all your heart, he's not excluding reality from your experience. Isn't that great? He's not saying live in a dream world. No, he's saying live in the real world. And the reality that there are risks in life, yes. But you need to make that choice. You need to make that decision. Are you and I going to face the realities of the life we have right now? With him or without him? Am I going to trust in him with all my heart when I face those risks? Even trusting him is a risk. But it's not a risk without knowing. Because you and I have God's Word and the work of the Holy Spirit that is constantly inviting us, instructing us. Yes, I want you to step out in faith. Yes, it's a risk. Why is faith a risk? Because we are so prone to do what we've always been doing. It's sort of like the church when they're faced with a challenge of faith to do something new in the way of outreach or ministry or something or project. And so someone's saying, but we've never done it that way before. You know what you're saying? I don't want to take the risk. I don't want to take the risk. Think of Abraham when God called Abraham to leave the comfortable, his culture, his country, his people, and to go to a land that he never knew before. And God didn't tell him the end of the journey. He did say to Abraham, trust me, and I will lead you step by step. That was a risk. Could you do it? Could I do it? But every day God is calling us to trust in him. Maybe not as dramatic as Abraham leaving the Ur of Chaldees and coming into the promised land. That Abraham had no clue of the promise until God gave him the promise. Isn't that interesting? But you and I, we are not clueless. We have God's word and the precious promises from a faithful God. Amen? Yes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yes, there's a risk. But that's where faith comes in. Because God is faithful and trustworthy. Wouldn't you agree with that? That God is faithful and trustworthy? Amen. I think of the Christians that are meeting in church this Lord's Day in Baghdad and the risk that they have of taking their faith and putting it in practice, in worship, in a city that the largest population in that city hate them and persecute them, and if they could wipe them out, they would do that. Faith has a risk. I think of an Andrew White, who's also in Baghdad this very day. from England, leaving his family, 17 years battling MS. And the church that he was serving there in England said, well, we think maybe you ought to get out of the ministry. And Andrew said, no, God has called me to the ministry. Where do you think Andrew is now? He's in Baghdad, in St. George's Church. Yes, with his MS, but he's trusting God with all of his heart. Yes, there's a risk. There's a risk. What are you willing to risk right now with your faith and trust in God? We're going to talk a little bit more about that as we unpackage this passage. On to the next, if you will. Lean not into your own understanding. Oh, before we go there, I'm sorry, I've got a little correction. You know, my English is really bad. I never was good in grammar. I passed. And so you'll understand where I'm getting at, okay? Before you get into point number two, you have key thought. Faith is risking everything. It should be the preposition with. I didn't even know that was a preposition, right? Put the word for. Risking everything for a confident trust in the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me, too. That's an important thing. We encourage each other, okay? That's more grammatically correct, and that's more theologically correct, too. In fact, that's more important, isn't it? That is biblically correct, that your faith is risking everything for a confident trust in God. Let's go on. Be not unto your own understanding. The word sha'an is there. And the idea is a person who's leaning on a crutch, if you will, or leaning against a foundation. Sometimes we have the understanding about leaning. Well, you know, I have two propositions, or I have two opportunities. I'm kind of leaning over on this one here. Not really sure I want to go there, but I'm kind of leaning over there. No, that's not how sha'an used. Okay, that's not how that word is used. Lean not. Don't put your light, your faith, your trust, your future, your day today, right now, on your own understanding. But trust the Lord with all your heart. That's the contrast, okay? So it's not an inclination, but it's a foundation, okay? Yeah, great. Okay, you with me? Say yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay. Lean not into your own understanding. And the idea is, take a look at the verses. There is a way which seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. Yeah. You know, if I constantly lean, make the foundation of my life, my future, my eternity, on my own way of living, I'm going to die eternally. That's what God's word says. That's what that verse in Proverbs that's quoted right there says. That's why we're encouraged, we're instructed, we're commanded. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And we'll get to the other part later. But let's take a look at some other verses. So we understand what it means to not lean into our own understanding, okay? But it shall be not so. The Lord's talking about those who are leaders and servants, those who are first and last. Take a look. You see, the world says this is the way you should live if you want to get ahead. If you want to prosper and be successful, now Jesus Christ comes along and says, no. That's not God's way. That's not my Father's way. And this is what I want you to know. He says, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoa! You mean I have to serve to be great? Yes, that's God's way. That's God's way. Well, but Lord, the world says I've got to do this. I've got to manipulate. I've got to step on people to get ahead and to rise up in the corporation or whatever, or even in the church. And Lord says, no, that's not my way. That may be your way, but my way is become a servant. That's just one example, if you will, of how the world has turned things upside down and the gospel turns things right side up.
Yeah.
And so, take a look, Isaiah chapter 55 before you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. We all have our own ways. We all have our old patterns. And that's why this passage is so important about what does it mean? What does it look like to live by faith? And experience all that God wants us to experience in the better life in Jesus Christ. Well, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean, depend upon, rely upon your own understanding. Because His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So it must be that you and I have to pray to understand His thoughts and understand His ways. And He makes that possible through His Word. I wouldn't ask you, have you read the Word of God this morning before you came to church? I wouldn't put you on the spot. But I would want to ask, and you need to respond, do you read God's Word every day? Do you read God's Word every day? In a manner that you want to learn of His thoughts and have His thoughts, learn of His ways and walk in His ways. Because that's what it means to live the better life by faith. Charles Kettering was a leading officer in the General Motors Corporation. And whenever they faced a real serious problem there at General Motors when he was there, he would invite all the engineers, and I'm talking about a serious problem that would maybe call facilitate a recall or demand a recall, okay? They do not want that. They do not want that. And so Charles Kettering, to kind of head things off and whatnot, when problems arose, what he would do, he would call all the engineers from all the various departments together in one large room to work out a solution. But before they would go into the room, he had a sign and a table outside the conference room. And the sign read, "Put all your calculators and your slide rules down on this table and then come and join me." You know why? Because when they would be talking, typical of engineers, okay, when they would be talking about possible solutions, some would say, maybe this will work. And there would be one engineer who would slide rule, "Nope, can't work," and I'll tell you why. Because the slide rule says it ain't going to work. Or another engineer is over there with a calculator, and someone else says, I have a solution. "Nope, not going to work." And he found out that because they go by their old ways or own ways, they were locked in a box, and they couldn't get out. And they could never find solutions to the real problems that they were facing. And that's what this verse is saying. It's not that God is opposed to our reason. He gave us reason when He created us. It's not that God is opposed to intellect. He gave us intellect when He created us. But what He has said, and invites every one of us to do, to trust in Him with all our hearts. Don't lean on your own understanding, your own old ways, but have your heart, your mind open to His thoughts and His ways. I can tell you a number of illustrations of my own life. Even after I recommitted my life to the Lord, I made me some real big mistakes in trying to follow my own way. But I'll save that for another day. One of the areas that we always begin to calculate that is very personal and practical is our finances. I want you to take a look at some of the verses we have there that this passage or this part of the verse really applies to us. Because faith is relying on the Lord instead of our old ways. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. And sometimes we begin to calculate when the Lord says, "Wait a second, I want you to start with a tenth." I believe in grace giving, I really do. But I believe a 10% is a good starting point. And the reason I believe he could have said 30%, he could have said 40%, he could have said 80%. Why did God say 10% compared to the rest of the 90%? I think he knows our hearts, and even for us, we begin to calculate. And even a 10% is a real expression of our faith. Are we going to give God a tenth and trust Him to supply all of our needs and to meet those needs with what He has given us already and what He will give us in the future? That's one area I believe that we exercise our faith, living the better life. And if you have any doubt about this, take a look at Malachi. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. You know, there's two ways the Lord wants us to test Him. There's two ways that test is used. One adversely with the Lord, and the other positively with the Lord. The adverse way of testing the Lord is when you hear His command and you don't obey. Like Israel in the Old Testament, they tested the Lord. He said, go into the promised land. No, we don't want to go there. They were testing the Lord. He said, don't test me like them. That's an adverse way of testing the Lord, by disobedience. But there's another way He invites us to test Him. He wants us to test His promises. In Malachi chapter 3, He gives a promise. As we give from our hearts of the resources God has given to us, He promises that will always take care of us. In fact, the reality is, even if we don't give, He's still going to take care of us. Because He loves us. Like the perfect father, like the perfect mother. But if you want to experience a better life, He says, trust me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Now let's go on to the next part. Very quickly. I know. Number 3. In all your ways acknowledge Him. The word yada is here. And I know you've heard this before, but yada is a very interesting word. It's just not just giving a tacit nod to God. Some people come to church and they sing and they pray and they just kind of nod to God. Oh yeah, you're there. You're there. And I'm here. And they give a nodding acknowledgement. That's not the word there that is used. The word yada is a word of knowing personally, knowing intimately. And so He says, in all of your ways, know Him, have that relationship with Him. Yada. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You see, even in the Old Testament, faith was based upon a relationship. Not regulations. Not commandments. Now, it was an evidence of our faith, but faith, true living faith, throughout God's Word, is based upon a relationship. And it's because I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that I can trust Him with all my heart. It's because I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that I do not have to lean into my old ways, but I can learn new ways from Him. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to know Christ, Paul said, and the power of His resurrection. We have a number of verses there before you, and they all talk about knowing Jesus Christ in a relational way. Not just knowing about Him. Take a look at that last verse that we have there, 2 Peter 3:18. But to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You see, beloved, it's because of our relationship with the Lord that we can trust Him and we can risk our comfort zone. We can risk whatever that is in your life that's holding you back from trusting the Lord with all your heart. Because of our relationship with the Lord, we can have a devotion and dependence upon Him. Key thought of this passage, faith is a relationship with the Lord at its core. Let's go on to the fourth, if you will. And He will make your path straight. That's a promise. There are a lot of promises in God's Word. That's a promise. If you trust the Lord with all your heart, just as God has instructed in His Word, and His Word is replete with many, many instructions about how to trust it with all your heart, and lean not, don't make your own ways, your old ways, your old habits of thinking and processing things, the foundation for your decisions and your choices you make. Trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not into your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge that relationship you have with him. And because of that relationship you have with him, you are bringing Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, into every area of your life. Your financial area, your family area, your marriage area, your work area, because that's what it means to live the better life in Jesus Christ by faith. And he will make your path straight. Faith is all of that and so much more. Key thought here, faith is responding in obedience to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Let's say that, those two verses again. Open up on the front of your page, there the outline. Let's say that verse together. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The wonderful promise. But don't forget the practice. Because the practice makes that promise fulfilled. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the newness of life, the new life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that if there be any man or woman here today, Lord, that does not have a relationship with you, Lord Jesus, that saving relationship through faith and trust in you, that today would be the day of salvation, that today they would enter into that eternal relationship with you as Lord and Savior, as Shepherd, as Caregiver, as one who guards their souls for all of eternity. And our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior, I have the joy of telling you this morning that you could know him today. You could know him right now. You can make that transaction of faith and trust in him right now, that you can be saved, your sins all forgiven, the indwelling presence of the Spirit in your heart, and many, many other blessings and grace. If you would just simply pray, there's nothing special about this, no formula of this prayer, but if you would just simply pray with me right now, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. I know that I have no hope. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, came and died for my sins, and that he rose from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I repent of my sins, and I trust in you this day with all my heart. And I don't want to lean onto my own understanding. And from this day on, I will acknowledge you, my relationship with you, my love for you, my trust in you, in all my ways. Guide me, Lord Jesus. May this day be the start of not just a new day, but a new life in you. In your name I pray. Amen.